نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا تصاحب إلا بمؤمنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Today, inshallah, we're going to discuss the last mujahada, physical mujahada that we are supposed to do to control our desires and submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We discussed before that mujahada is a preliminary step that we must understand so that our heart, the desires in the heart, can be controlled, and then we become subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say that mujahada is of two types. One is mujahada, physical mujahada, that is mujahada jismani. The second one is jihad, mujahada nafsani, that is, it is to do with the heart. And this is the main maqsad. We say that the mujahada jismani are of four types. We got to try our utmost best to control our tongue, that is qillat al-kalam. We have to try to sleep less, which is qillat al-manam. Then qillat al-ta'am, we must eat less. The last one is qillat al-ikhtilat. Ulama ikram says we must mix less with people. These are the four stages which are a training ground for us to have an upper hand on our nafs. It trains us to control our heart, the desire, the flame of desires, of shahwa that comes into us. It brings it under control, which is the main part, which is the most difficult part. At times a person, you go in the street, he swears at you. You are very angry. You want to lift your hands. And to control that anger, this is the most difficult part. At times you hear somebody has made your ghibat. You want to go and lift your hand on that person, but you control yourself. This is where the maqam of mujahada leads us. Today the last one. If we ponder upon the mujahada of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is our yardstick. For anything we do, we must go in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We shall find that the beginning of even receiving nabuwat, prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving Nabuwa, you will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going in seclusion. He was retreating himself in Ghar Hira, the Mount of Hira, Jabal Nur. This is food for thought. What spurred Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to retreat himself? What made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go in Ghar Hira and leaving the cosmopolitan city of Makkatul Mukarramah, where the Kaabatullah is? What was pushing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to retreat himself? In the same way, if we look at the life of Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he reached the pinnacle of the highest stage that you can have in the academia. He became the rector of the most important university of the Abbasid dynasty. Yet Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi went in retreat. He had to run away. He was so important, they didn't give him ijazat to go. So he took permission to go for Hajj, and in the way he ran away for 1.5 years. In the same way, you read the life of Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi. For 40 days he didn't remain in the company of anybody. He retreated himself near the Nile River. In the same way, you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every year in the month of Ramadan, full Ramadan, he was going in i'tikaf. What is the purpose? Why are we going in i'tikaf? In the same way, we look at the life of Sahaba Kiram, often you will find in a hadith where Sahaba Kiram is telling, I wish I was a plant, where I couldn't mix with people, no hisab kitab to give. In the same way, you will find Sahaba Kiram ask permission to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them permission to retrieve themselves. The famous one is Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi time after the demise of Islam, he took permission from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to leave Medina. Abu Bakr Siddiq did not give him permission. In the time of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he took permission, he makes sabr. Amir did not give him permission, he stayed in Medina. In the time of Osman radiallahu anhu, he could not take it, he took permission. First was that Osman radiallahu ta'ala refused him, then later on gave him permission and he went in the mountain. What is the thing that pushed a person to retreat himself? Why the Sahaba Kiram wanted this life? Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it one of the most important part of the month of Ramadan, i'tikaf? Hatta ke it is said that in a basti, if nobody sits in i'tikaf, the entire basti is gunahgar. Why this retreat in Islam? Why the Sufyan Kiram is telling us we must retreat ourselves? Why this concept of khalwat? There are two concepts before I go. Allama Kausar, Allama Qushayri Rahmatullah Alayhi says there are two things. One is to retreat ourselves, which is khalwat. And one is uzla, which is seclusion. We've got to differentiate between those two concepts. I'm going to explain to you why we must differentiate between those two concepts. Retreat, you will find that in today's time, Mawla Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi himself will tell you go 4 days, 4 months. Why Mawla Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi has come? Where are these 4 months coming? What is the importance of this 4 months in the life of a person when he goes in Jamaat? Not only 4 months, they will tell you every month go for 3 days to go for picnic in Masjid. No. It is to retreat yourself. Ulama Kiram, those who observe the usul of Jamaat will know these 3 days, you are given an opportunity to make one Khatam al-Quran, 10 paras a day. Beside your gush. Then every year you must go 40 days. Why Mawla Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi has come with that? Why leaving our mahal? Why retreat ourselves? This concept is very important. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a riwayat to this effect, or Riyadh al-Salihin, I read it by Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah Alayhi, where there was a person in the Bani Israel, he committed 99 crimes. This was eating his brain inside, and he went to his monk, to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, 99 crimes, there's no way, you jahannami. He got angry and he killed him as well. But this was eating him inside. How can I get rid of this? How can I remedy this situation? He went to see another priest. He told him, you know, in such place you go, there is another person, you go there. Leave this place. Because this mahal is not the right mahal for you. You must leave this place and go somewhere else. On his way, he passed away. And the Farishta of Jannat and the Farishta of Jahannam were fighting where to take him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a long riwayat on that. Allah constricted the earth and measuring where he was nearer to Jannat or Jahannam, as the place he was going or the place he was coming from. It was found that he was nearer to the place where he was going to amend himself, to reform himself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to give him Jannah. The point here is the role of the mahal. Your environment plays such important role in on you that if we don't change ourselves, we don't seclude ourselves, we don't go in retreat, it will be very, very difficult to amend our heart. This has been the starting point of all the great ulama. All the great ulama have found time to go in seclusion. It's impossible for a person, for a salik, a person who is in the path of Allah, or a person who wants to reform his heart, it is impossible to reform yourself if we are not going to retreat ourselves, even it means for 1 hour a day. Usually ulama say one chilla. You go to a pious person, a sheikh kamil, for 40 days, you remove yourself from society. This is the beginning of a salik. This is the beginning of a person who wants to reform himself. Very important. As I prove it to you from the life of the great, great scholars. But the end of it, the end result of this khalwat, the end result of retreating yourself is seclusion, is uzla. Uzla is the end of it. Uzla means you seclude yourself. And when you seclude yourself, it'll end up with having mariyate ilahi, which is a very great gift. This is why Allama Qushayri Rahmatullah Alayhi says, retreat, that is khalwat, is an attribute of purity. But uzla, seclusion, to seclude oneself, is a token of the pious people. It is a token of union. Because once you have retrieved yourself, your heart will start identifying who you are. The beauty of retreating, it facilitates yourself to analyze who you are. Because there's nobody here to influence you. It is between you and Allah. It is only between you and Allah. But in the process, you can go through a spiritual depression. That's the danger of it. If you read the life of Imam Ghazali, he went through a spiritual depression for 1.5 years. He left Baghdad. He left everything. For this reason, this must be done under the monitoring of Sheikh Kamil. If not, if you are not geared up with yourself, you haven't got enough ilm, you can be deviated. For this reason, when a person goes in retreat, he will start analyzing himself because there's nobody here to influence him. He will realize how low he is. Once you realize how low you are, you develop humility. When you develop humility, the quality of fanahiyat comes. You are nobody. Allah is everything. This is a maqsad. Who are we? We are nobody. Allah is everything. But the contrary is, if I am somebody, my soul is the highest soul in the world, then we develop vanity, we develop pride, which is a quality of shaitan, which is a quality of Iblis. This retreat helps us to analyze ourselves. This is why ulama say, the next one is to go in retreat, depending on the individual, how long he can go. The question is, what about my children? What about my work? What about this and that? Ulama explained that there are three types. Seclusion, if you want to seclude yourself. One is khalwat, as I said, for 40 days or whatever, you go in seclusion, or you go in retreat. Seclusion means you do not mix with people unnecessarily. And there are three levels. Why? The highest level is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you get this gift of seclusion, which is a union with Allah, then the problem that the salik will get, he just doesn't want to talk to anybody now. He doesn't want to meet anybody. That also is un-Islamic. The maqsad of Sharia is not to attain this. You have to fulfill the right of your wife. You have to fulfill the right of your children. You got to go and work. As long as you are struggling to get a halal rosy to sell your commodity, this is not part of your, it's not going to affect your seclusion because your heart is with Allah. Like Mawlana Masrullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, khalwat mein jalwat, ajeeb statement. Company in solitude. What does this mean? Ajeeb word. Company in solitude. Mawlana Masrullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says that when you are in your solitude, you are not alone. Allah is with you. Like he comes in the Quran when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were caught in Ghari Thor. What the ayah of the Quran says, you two were not alone. There was a third with you, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start manifesting itself in you, this gift that the tajalli of Allah start manifesting in the heart when you are in seclusion, this is a gift which we cannot understand except the great wali of Allah. They experience it and they can't put it in words for us. This is the beauty of seclusion. Once we understand that, the next step is we have to understand that seclusion is not a maqsad in itself. To seclude oneself, to go and sit in a corner of the room and don't want to mix with people, that's not the maqsad. This seclusion, why Sharia tells us to go in seclusion, is to bring an i'tidal in us, to bring a moderation in us, how much to talk with people, to what extent to mix with, to get this i'tidal, to get this moderation. This is a spiritual exercise, this is a mujahada we must do to get this moderation. If you remember, about 3-4 sessions before that, I told you that there are three quwwat that we can develop. One is quwwat al-shahwiya, the sexual desires, the needs in us. One is shawa quwwat al-aqliya, your intellectual power. The third one is quwwat al-ghazabiya, your anger. These are the three internal faculties that man needs to develop. He does have to have an equilibrium in those things so that he can have wisdom, he can have bravery, and he can have chastity. These three things will make you an insan-e-kamil. So when a person in a position to get this moderation in him, this seclusion, this khalwat and uzla enhances this aspect in him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his heart inside, then he gets this moderation in him. So the maqsad is not to seclude yourself from society, because if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the beginning he was going Ghari Hira, but once he became the Prophet of Allah, if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he moved to Madinatul Munawwara, he had approximately 400 ghazawat and jihad to do, which comes to approximately over a period of 10 years, two to three jihad Rasulullah sallam had to got to prepare. Today if you look, to prepare, China wants to fight with Taiwan now. So for the last 10 years he is planning to attack Taiwan. The war on Iraq, in the time of Reagan, this was being planned. I got documents on that. They take 10, 15 years to prepare one war. Rasul of Allah prepared 2-3 in 1 month. How busy he was. There was time for seclusion? Yes. Even then there was time for seclusion, brothers. It comes in hadith, when Rasulullah once was making his azkar, he was in seclusion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha came to her. He looked at her and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Aisha." He said, "Who Aisha?" He said, "Aisha of your friend Abu Bakr." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached a stage of ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was integrated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where the gift of union comes with seclusion. This is why ulama say it is not possible for a person to escalate the path of tasawuf, the path of tazkiyah, the path of tazkiyah to nafs. This is the starting point that he had to learn to seclude himself. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started. The masla is there are three types of seclusion. The first one is the association, the three types of association. To understand the masla of seclusion, you've got to understand the masla of association. There are three levels. The first one is a praiseworthy association, that is to sit in the sohbat of the good people. And according to Sharia, it is not permissible to run away from such association. Because the ayat I've quoted to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin." All you believers, fear Allah and be in the company of the Siddiq. It's not an ordinary ayat. Siddiqiyat, the quality of being truthful, is just a stage. This is the highest stage a Muslim can attain. Just under Nabuwat. Nabuwat is above. Nabuwat is Kasbi. That is, Nabuwat is Wahhabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it. You cannot make effort to become a prophet. Allah chooses a person to become a prophet. Whereas, wilayat or siddiqiyat is the effort of the individual Muslim. He put this effort, the mujahada, and he can reach that level. The highest level you can reach is siddiqiyat. After siddiqiyat is Nabuwat. Of, this is the highest level you can have, where your heart is in harmony with the kalam of Allah, where your heart is in harmony with Rasulullah sallam kalam, whatever they say is haq. This is the level of siddiqiyat. Just like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from Miraj, he tell the people, "I went for Baitul Maqdis last time." The people were laughing, and the Kufar in Makkah, they said, "This is an opportunity to make a mockery of Rasulullah." They went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and said, "Look what Muhammad is saying. He went in one night to Baitul Maqdis. Those days, maybe by camel, it would take 1.5 months. He said, "If he said so, it is true." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just imagine, as the whole entire Makkah is telling Rasulullah, "You off your head, na'uzu billahi min zalik. Are you possessed by jinnat or what? How can you do that in one night?" They could not comprehend it. On that time, you get a person who comes and says, "Yes, it is true." What is moral support for Rasulullah? This is why Rasulullah says, "You are Siddiq." This is a level, the highest level you can attain is the level of Siddiqiyat, where your tongue and your heart marry the eyes of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin," be in the company, in the sohbat of the Ahlullah, be in the company of those who fear Allah and who have the truth with them. Very important that we must keep sohbat with those people. Very, very important. This is what Sharia says, you must sit in the company. If you look at the life of Sahaba Ikram brothers, I haven't got time to go into the details, time is flying. In the time of Rasulullah, you'll find that the riwayat comes. There was a Sahabi, Rasulullah in Medina. He just came, just peeped by the door. "Oh, Rasulullah," he goes. Few minutes again, he came. "Oh, Rasulullah," he goes. His heart is not at ease. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I can't stay without looking at you." Then Rasulullah says, a person will be with he loves in Jannah. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Sahaba were very happy. That is, if you love Rasulullah, you will be with Rasulullah in Jannah. Just imagine, there was a Sahabiya, Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned this Fazali Amal. The Sahabiya, she came by the qabr of Rasulullah after the demise of Rasulullah. She started crying. She could not take the pang of separation and she passed away by the qabr of Rasulullah. This is the intensity of Sohbat. This is why the Sahaba Ikram was called Sahaba. They were not called Fuqaha. They were not called Muhaddithun. They were not called Sufyan Ikram. They were called Sahaba because the Sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so dear to them. This is a company. This is why the masla is to sit in those companies. It is wajib. It is not permissible to run away from this type of company. This is beside the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of association is those associations that are not permissible. This is why Rasulullah لا تصاحب إلا بمؤمنا. Do not sit in the company except the company of a practicing Muslim. It is wajib to keep away from these companies. Even if it is a Muslim, but he is not a practicing Muslim, where he can affect your iman, he can affect your ibadat, he will give you bad influence, then it is wajib to keep away from this company. The third type of association is this association where it is just permissible. It's not impermissible, it's permissible. That is, it has got nothing to do with ibadat, it is not a sin. This one, ulama says, it is compulsory to reduce this type of association. We must not mix too much. Unless to the extent that is being needed. Why all those masla about association, mixing with people? The reason is, when we have understood the concept of association, one is a person mix with people to satisfy his desires. I am depressed at home, let me meet my friend or Mr. So-and-so, the Imam Sahib, to empty my heart. I got a fight with my wife, let me go outside, take a smoke, and I talk to my friend a bit, I get some counseling with him. My exams is coming, I can't take the pressure, let me go by my friend, we play some football. This association that we are talking here, this khalwa, this ikhtilat that we are mixing with, Sharia does not endorse that. Because all sin, most of the sin that man makes, most of the sin that we make, we need two people. If a person makes zina, you need two people. You want to lie, you need two people. You want to make ribat, you need two people. You want to fight, you need two people. So by we mixing in this type of, even if it is a permissible association, it will end up in this type of action. Hence, this is why Sharia says we must not mix with people. We must reduce our mixing with people. Until we get this moderation, we are balanced what to talk and not what to talk. What to see and not what to see, what to eat and not what to eat, or what extent we must sell our product, etc., etc. Until we get this moderation, Sharia tells us that we must go this route of seclusion. This is why we find the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Rasulullah sallam, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. Ay Rasulullah sallam, when you finish swimming among the people, diving in the masses, to make dawah, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. Then exhaust yourself towards your Lord. Look at this word. Exhaust your Rabb, exhaust yourself in your ibadat of tahajjud. This is why it comes in hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to read his tahajjud, his heart was hit, was beating so much that it was a sound like a boiling kettle. That his feet used to swell. This is what the seclusion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is after we finish make our dawah, this is what the command of Islam is. Go in seclusion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you see the power of dawah. Then you see the power of our amal. Then we see the power of our tasbihat. This seclusion is very, very important. Very important. Once we go in seclusion, what are we supposed to do in seclusion? Just sit like this and sleep? No. Ulama Ikram explained, we've got to involve ourselves in tasbihat. We've got to ponder on our actions. what you call the muraqabat, pondering. How many bad actions we have done? How can we improve ourselves? Pondering on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pondering on our death. There are ways to do that. Inshallah, we'll talk about it. How do we do muraqabat? How we think and ponder in quiet. As I explained last time, it is virtually impossible, with the exception of few people who can sit and concentrate for 10 minutes in today's time. This shows us how our mind is distracted, how our mind is running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much we must control our heart, our mind, and through this spiritual exercise, then only we can appreciate it. The attitude a person must adopt when he goes in seclusion, when he keeps away, because you want to eat, then you tell your wife or your children will tell you, come see this beautiful film or there's important news. You say, no, I want to go in seclusion now. There will be World War III at home, because it's a family time and you want to go into seclusion. But this seclusion is so important. This is why we must adopt this attitude. Ulama Kiram says, the purpose of seclusion is to save others from our sin. Not that we are big wali of Allah. It's to save others from our sin. Once a person met a monk, a Christian priest, and look at him and tell him, you are a monk. Say, no, I'm not a monk. I'm guarding a dog. This dog is myself that is attacking mankind. I'm saving mankind from that dog. Abu Abdullah bin Ramli says, beautiful statement. He says, my companion is solitude. No, make your companion solitude. Make your hunger, no, make your food hunger, and make your speech prayers. Then either you'll die or you'll reach Allah. I repeat it. Make your company solitude. Make your food hunger, and make your speech prayers. Then either you will die or you will reach Allah. Junayd Baghdadi rahimahullah says, Ajib statement. He says that the hardship of seclusion is easier than the affability of mixing with people, of companionship. Affability means you talk and mix with people. The hardship of seclusion, because it's not easy to sit. Believe me, to sit for 15 minutes, tried it. Your mind will go here, your mind will go there. It's very difficult to settle yourself in the beginning. It's easier than to mix with people. Because when you start mixing with people, one of the qualities that will develop in you, brothers, you know what is in your heart, I know what is in my heart, is hypocrisy will develop. You got no chance, because everybody will wear a social mask sitting here. With your wife, you're going to behave one way. With me, you're going to behave one way. You met Hazaji, you're going to behave one way. In the university, you're going to behave one way. At work, you're going to behave one way. Everybody is wearing a social mask, isn't it? Hypocrisy. Very few people you know who what is in their heart. We come here, we take our tasbih, we're very pious, this and that. We're going home, we're another person. And if you want to know who you are, ask your wife. Your wife will know you in and out. There was a great wali of Allah. Everybody calls him a wali of Allah. His wife always, you, wali of Allah, impossible. Ask me, tell the people to come and ask me. I'll tell them who you are. So one day, the husband said, I'm going to show here. I'm a wali of Allah. So he sat on his musalla and stopped flying. The wife looked at this. Ooh, that's a wali of Allah. So when he came at night, the wife told him, you know, you say people say you're wali of Allah. Today I saw a wali of Allah. Well, yeah. What you saw? I saw a wali of Allah flying. He said, I'm flying. It was me. Oh, it is you. Why is it not fly straight? Why are you making zigzag? So your wife knows you very well. Your wife knows you very well. This is why Hakim Sahab, Dhamma Barakatuhum, I heard this with my own ears. He laid emphasis on the wife. He says, if your wife complains to me, I take your khilafat away. Ajib. If your wife complains to you, I take my khilafat away. Your wife will know who you are. You will know you in and out. And they're very sharp in that. So if you want to know your mistake, ask your wife. She will tell you. So this is the social mask that we wear. Everybody is sitting here, wear social mask. We don't know what our heart is inside. We got to go to seclusion and cross-examine our heart. This is why the Sufi al-Kiram says, go in seclusion, go in retreat. If you can spend 40 days with the company of Ahlullah, Alhamdulillah, the Quran is for up to the day of Qiyamah. We cannot say today's time there is no Ahlullah. If we are bad, doesn't mean the whole world is bad. This is a sign of arrogance. Mufti Taqi Sahab was sitting in one of his masjids and he was saying, this is the ayat of the Quran where Allah is giving the order, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Sit in the company of the Siddiqeen. If you don't see them, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Quran has come up to the day of Qiyamah. There must be Siddiqeen. It cannot be only for the time of the Prophet. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pave our way to find those people. And they will sit with the company. 40 days. If you don't feel this is your way, go in Jamaat 40 days. But go according to usul. Don't make your own usul in Jamaat. Go and make the own usul. First thing they go, who will cook today? And I mean, that's not the usul of Asajid. Go in Nizamuddin, Alhamdulillah. Those go and see the usul. 3 days is enough to make your Islam. And if you go in Jamaat, what do they tell you? Eat less. So the 4 things you must do less. You sleep less, talk less. The same thing that we have been discussed, this is what Ma'idah Rasulullah is telling us to do. And 4 things you must do more, namaz, zikr, your qaza, etc. Same principle. The only difference is this one is an ummatic reform on a global level, and this one is an individual that demand more attention. So we go in the company of the Ahlullah, spend 40 days minimum, come as come, 40 days. We spend there. This is our khalwat, our retreat. One of the things they will tell you when you go, they will tell you, depend who you are going to meet, there must be compatibility also, either they will tell you to go and clean toilet to make your Islam, or they will tell you to stay in the masjid. Don't go anywhere, just sit in the masjid for 40 days. Don't talk to anybody. Then when you come out, you'll be a different person. Then you must take the habit of going in seclusion. Every day you must retreat, go yourself in the corner of your room and ponder who you are. Lower yourself, your soul. Get this humility. We must try to get this humility. Until we don't get this humility in us, it is impossible to progress in the suluk. As long as man, I am somebody, as long as we say that I am a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a computer expert, I am this, I'm that, I'm the imam of the masjid, whatever, I'm the mutawalli of the masjid, I'm this. This ananiyat, man, kon hu, I am somebody. Until we have this mentality in us that I am somebody, we can never progress in the path of suluk. We must finish ourselves, and this is the poor thing, the poor mujahada that a person must make to reach that level, to make sacrifice on the heart. This is seclusion. This is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started before he received wahi. This is the way Sahaba kiram were doing. This is the way of the great, great ulama. Eat less, talk less, sleep less, and don't mix with people unnecessarily. If we're mixing with people, it must be to the extent of necessity. To the extent of necessity. If not, we're going to involve in sin. So we're going to stop here today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon that. Make the special dua for myself. I'm the first person that needs this hidayah. يا ولا الأولين ويا خل الآخرين يا القوة المتينة يا أرحم الراحمين يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى كل معلوم لك اللهم عين على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ربنا زدنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وحلالا وطيبا وعملا صالحا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء وقلبا منورا ولسانا ذاكرا وإيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وخلوقا حميدا اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجب والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان ولك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك استغفر الله استغفر الله.